appreciate you singing that from your heart, and I praise God for that. And certainly God's grace is amazing, isn't it? And I love that song. That's a great song. Let's stand together and open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Thank you again for that song. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'll be reading verses 1 through 9. I've been burdened about our upcoming missions conference, and I want to talk to you about some really important things on my heart about it tonight, and I hope it'll help all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Now, did you notice? Just look at verse 2 for a minute here, okay? This is a really unusual verse, because notice what it says. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have great trial of affliction, I don't equate that with joy. I typically equate that with depression, difficulty, discouragement, despair, crying, all the rest. But that's not what the Bible says. Let's go back and read it one more time and take that thought with you as you consider this. How that a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. Take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Thank you, and you may be seated. Missions, a missionary. What is that all about? We have the idea that missions and a missionary, we talk about having faith promise missions. People ask about faith promise missions or how they fund the missions program and what is the missions about and why do we do what we do and how is it that we support numerous missionaries and how do we make all that happen and what do they do and where that's going and all of that. Well, in the next week, we're going to learn all those answers to those questions. I want to help all of us to understand that the heartbeat of the Bible is missions. I believe that as a pastor that in some ways I've failed you in the area of missions. Not the fact that I failed in the passion of it. Not so much in the fact that I failed in going and doing what I preach about. But in the fact that somehow or another I don't feel like we're engaged in missions like we should be. I feel as though that missions is sort of like something that a few people get involved with. Some may go and do here and there, but we are not engaged in missions as we should be. We have maybe, you know, for whatever reason said, well, you know, we can't afford it, or we can't do this, or we can't do that. Here's how I feel about it. I would rather not have a big house if I can't afford to give something to missions. I would rather not drive... I would rather drive an older car if I can't give something to missions and help support missionaries. My burden and passion is the fact that we understand that missionaries are like our heroes of the day. When I saw this play last week, and I mentioned this morning, and many of you have, still about this Green Bay Seattle thing, and I don't keep, you know, it's not a really big deal to me, but what is big is the money that was lost and how people think that it's so wrong that they lost money. You know what I think it's wrong? They gambled it. That's what's wrong with it. That's the wrong part of it. Not the fact that guys did a bad call, $300 million thrown down the rat hole on some worthless hope. Why don't we take $300 million and give it to missions? I mean that with all my heart. I think that's what's atrocious. I think what's ridiculous is that we take people and put them on a ball field and give them $25 million. That's what I think is ridiculous. Now look, I'm a sports guy. You guys know that. I love sports. And I'm all about that. But I'm going to tell you something. When we get our priorities right, we'll realize that missionaries are more important than football teams. Or basketball teams, or baseball, or any of the rest of those things. It's more important. Missions is more important than anything else. In fact, I read this, and I've never forgotten this. I read this quote. It said this: God only had one son, Jesus, and he made him a missionary. If you want to know how important missions is, just look at the New Testament. Look at how their churches were established by missionaries. In fact, some of you in here tonight are here because of a missionary. He went to your country, and some of you from other countries, and somebody sent them there, and they went under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and they established a church, and you got saved. Aren't you glad of that tonight? And tonight, when I consider all that this is about, you know, the impact of all of this, it just boggles my mind. I can't imagine how little emphasis so many churches do in the area of missions. Missionaries are like many Christian servants. They are called by God to do what God wants them to do. And they want to be full-time. They want to go to the mission field and serve God in full-time service. That's what they're called to do. But in order for them to go, they have to and be supported. They have to go full-time. They have to be supported by churches like our church and other churches just like us. In fact, to be honest with you, here's how I see it. Finances should be the least of a missionary's worries. I mean, they got to go to a mission field. You think about it. They're going to go to a foreign culture that they know very little about, except maybe they paid a visit or whatever the case is, and they go there to learn a brand new culture. They have to learn things they should never say and things that they should say, and they have to learn how to handle themselves in those countries and how to impact that. And by the way, I don't even know how to do it in my own country. So think about how difficult it is in a foreign country, learn a new language, be able to translate that language into where they take the Word of God and speak to them about Jesus, who they probably have never heard about, and tell them about how he died on the cross for them, and they know nothing about a cross. And all of that, I mean, you take all that, that's huge. And that's what they need to focus on, not being worried about money. You see, missionaries travel from church to church in what we call debutation. That's what it's called. And some of you are kind of new in the church, and some of you are maybe out of denominations that where you went to church, where if a guy wanted to be a missionary, all he did was say, "I want to be a missionary," and they said, "Okay, you fill out the paperwork, in 3 months you're gone." It doesn't work that way among churches that are like our church. We're independent churches. And as an independent church, we have missionaries that come through, and there's mission boards, and they sign up with mission boards, they're approved by mission boards, they're checked by mission boards, and they literally go on what's called debutation, going church to church to raise money. I'll be honest with you, every missionary that comes here, they have two purposes. Number one, they need your prayers more than anything else. And number two, they need our money so they can do their job. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. And so I'm trying to help us as we prepare for missions and missionaries as they come in, and as we've had missionaries come in, how are they going to get to the field except there be churches who God would lay on their heart that we might support them? There's a biblical way of doing that. Our budget, you know, we try to keep our budget as low as we can. We're really trying to be careful, and sometimes our general fund is not 100%, sometimes 80%, sometimes 90%, sometimes 100%. You know, praise the Lord, we finished out last year at 100%. Isn't that a blessing? Amen? But, you know, we support missionaries not by taking like 5% of our budget or 10% of our budget, although I don't see anything wrong necessarily with that. But I do think that if we did that, we ought to do that in addition to Faith Promise, not as a substitute to Faith Promise. I'm going to explain to you what Faith Promise is tonight. I want you to understand it. The best way to really grasp it and get an understanding of it is to realize what the word means. Faith Promise. We're calling it biblical missions, but Faith Promise. First of all, you have the faith part. The faith part means that we don't have it. That's the faith part. Faith part means that you and I, we just don't have it. There's no way to, you know, we don't know where it's going to come from, and we don't have that. And since we don't have it, we have to trust God for it. That's the faith part. And faith means that we pray and say, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, then you have to be in this thing for me to be able to give to missions, for me to be able to do something in the area of missions. God's got to be in it. This can't be something that somehow I manufacture, I work up, or you know, I do this, and I'll explain all that in a minute. But what it means is we need to have God in it. Now, the best way to illustrate it is Hannah in the Bible. You guys remember Hannah in the Old Testament, she did not have any children. In fact, she was barren. And Hannah's a perfect picture of this, because here's what Hannah did. Hannah wanted to give something to God, and she didn't have it to give to God. She wanted to give a son. And she went to God, and she said to God, she said, you know, Lord, I want to give you a man child. And she was very specific. She wanted to give him a man child. And she went and she prayed for a man child. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says this, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore and vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So what she said was, she said, Lord, I don't have a man child. I don't have anybody to give you. I don't have anything to give you, but Lord, if you will give me a man child, I will give him to you. And that's where the promise part comes in. That God, if you give it to me, I promise to give him unto you. By the way, did God give her that faith promise? And what was his name? Samuel, a powerful prophet. Because here's the truth of the matter is, God sent it through Hannah, and she gave it. That's faith promise. That's how it works. You see, tonight, we might be sitting here saying, well, you know, we're getting ready to come in, and man, we've been struggling, you know, personally, and I'm trying to make my house payments. And by the way, I've noticed that house payments haven't gone down. Mine hasn't gotten cheaper. I understand that. And it's expensive. But we're not talking about our regular budget now. We're talking to God. We're going to go to God and say, God, whatever it is that you lay on my heart, I don't have it, but whatever it is you lay on my heart, Lord, that is what I want to give to you. And I promise that when you give it, I'll give it unto you. That's the challenge. And so tonight, I want us to look at that, because in this passage of Scripture, when we talk about missions, and what I'm talking about tonight really is our involvement in missions. I'm talking about how we as a church, because although it's true that we have sent out some missionaries out of our church, we got the Palouses, Vanessa and Luke are helping the Palouses over there. Missionaries serving God in a mission field. Isn't that wonderful that we have missionaries doing that?
Amen.
And they're doing a great job over there. And we have church planters that have gone out and started new churches. And we praise God for that. And that's a blessing to me. You know, I came to California starting a new church, sent out as a missionary, started a new church. In fact, this church sent me out 25 years ago and started the church in Woodland as a missionary. And now I'm here. But you know, when you think about it, this work of missions involves the entire church body. This is not just the missionary. A missionary can't just be one who just goes on his own and says, well, I'm a missionary. He has to be connected with, first of all, a local church, and we can look at that another time. But we talk about the local church, but he needs to be supported by many churches so that he can go to the field and serve God faithfully. Now, let me mention a couple things. Let's move on to the next slide. I think the next slide helps me know the next one. Yes. All right. Here's what I want us to look at. Now, faith promise, when we talk about, maybe we can tone the lights down just a little bit, guys. See if we can get a better picture of that. Can you see that a little bit better? Okay, there we go. Perfect. Now, faith promise, we talk about our faith promise gift and doing something for missions. We must understand it is not a pledge. Every now and then I get pledged, you know, I get calls to people to get me to pledge money. I had one call not too long ago. In fact, it was this last week. And they're getting really good because they know your name when they call. So when my wife answers the phone, hi Janet, how you doing? Someone she's never heard, never met, know nothing about, but they've got her name. Or they got my name. And they'll call and they'll say, Mr. Stone Street. And sometimes they'll use the word Mr. I think it's just kind of a ploy. And they'll say, Mr. Stone Street, you realize that, you know, there are 8 billion whatever, you know, and there are like, you know, 20 million kids that are suffering with cancer. And can we count on your $20 pledge this week so that we can give that into the pot to help others who are struggling because it could be one of your children? And, you know, what do you say? But they're asking for a pledge. But I want you to realize something tonight, that faith promise, when we're talking about, when we look at faith promise in our giving, as we're praying about what God would have us to do, we're not talking about a pledge. We're not talking about a portion of our tithe. So if your tithe is, say $100 a week or whatever it might be, I have no idea what yours is, it's none of my business, and none of yours. But say it's $100 a week. We don't say, okay, we're going to change it to $90 a week and 10 of it goes. It's not that. It's not a replacement for your tithe. You know, I've heard some people, they go to a missions conference, they get really excited, get excited about missions. You know what they do? They stop tithing and start giving all their money to missions. It's not that. That's not it either. And it is not a bill. So if a person fills out a faith promise card, which we will pass out as we always do, they're not going to be getting a bill for it. It's not that. So what do we understand about faith promise? And I know I'm talking about money tonight, so just kind of take your feelings off your shoulders and let's just kind of listen to what God has to say about it so we can understand this. This is something that for us as we enter into a faith promise missions year, understand this is how we support our missionaries. And it's important for us to understand that. So there are three areas in which we can look at to understand this biblical approach, or three truths. I want you to see them in verses 1 and 2. There's the exhortation of involvement. And that exhortation involves being faithful in giving. The Macedonian churches, if you notice here in the passage, the Bible said they were suffering financially. They themselves were suffering. And yet they were going to help the Jerusalem church to relieve them in verses 13 and 14, the same chapter. And they were taking up an offering to help them, and that was a church. And they were actually a mission church out of that church. And so they were taking up an offering to help them so they could be a blessing back. Paul had asked him a little earlier in verses 10 and 11 that they might help, and now he's asking them again that they might consider doing it. And what do we learn from this? Here's a very important point. You can write this one down. Here we learn that nobody is too poor to give. Nobody is too poor to give. And everyone who participates in giving shares equally in the responsibility. We're never too poor to give. We're never too poor that we can't help somebody else out. Now, next week, we have one missionary coming in. It's a lady. Her name is Sarah. And you'll get to meet her. She'll be here next Saturday night. And she'll be here with us all day Sunday. We're going to let her introduce her work on Sunday morning. And you'll get to know her. And here's how I see it. As we get to know these missionaries, we begin to understand who they are, what their burden is, what their passion is. We begin to understand what their burden is about going to a particular field. And it should touch our hearts that we might want to do something to help them. It's our responsibility. We share in that. I can assure you that I do the best I can, that if I bring someone in here, that missionary that I would bring to our church is one that we could support. I would not bring someone in and everyone says, well, you know, we're going to bring him in and just try him out and see if we might support him. No, we're going to know that he's on the up and up before he ever gets into our pulpit. Amen?
Amen.
But here's the point. It's equal sacrifice, but not equal giving. We all can do our part. We're not too poor that we can't be a part of the mission program of Calvary Baptist Church. We can't say that we cannot or we're not able to do something. It's equal sacrifice, but not necessarily equal giving. For some people, $5 a week would be a sacrifice. I doubt it, but for some it would. For others, $100 might be more of a sacrifice. I will tell you this, if you're willing to sacrifice two Starbucks a week, you could support a missionary in a great way. You see, I'm not, you know, you say, where do you get that from? Well, I'm telling you, honestly, you think about it, Starbucks is $5. By the way, any of you tried the spice pumpkin? Anyone ever tried that one? It's pretty good. $5. But here's my point. Why can't we give something to our missionaries? How am I doing tonight? You guys with me? I'm trying to help us to understand that as we're a part of this, that God is exhorting us. He's using this picture of this church. They're suffering, they're struggling, but yet they wanted to do something. Maybe they can't do all they'd like to do, and maybe tonight we can't do all we'd like to do, but we all can do something in helping our missionaries. But then there's faith in giving. And it takes faith when we are struggling ourselves, and it took faith for them as they were struggling themselves to not only pray for God to give something, but for them to turn around and give it. They could have kept it. And let me tell you something I've learned about God over the years. If God sends money for you to give to somebody, you better give it to them or the supply line will quit. You know, we're just a conduit, really. As God has provided our needs, we just, you know, and then God gives us extra, we just pass it on to the next person. You see, our problem is we like to keep everything we get for ourselves. And God says that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's taught all throughout Scripture. In fact, aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to become poor so we could become rich? The temptation to keep everything, make sure it's all for me. In other words, the whole world is all about me. It's all about what I can get. It's all about the next gadget, the next toy, the next thing I can have for me. And you know, after all, Pastor, you know, I can't give you any missions because, you know, I mean, that motor home costs a lot of money and that house costs a lot of money and that motorcycle costs a lot of money. Sell your motorcycle and give your money to missions. Because, see, here's how I see it. There it is. Some things are priorities in life. And God is very clear in what he thinks we should do with it. These people had learned to trust God by faith. They had learned to live by faith. They had, even when they had nothing to give, they said, God, you know, we're going to pray that you'll give it to us. That Lord, that $10 a week or that $20 additionally that I already give to the offering, I'm going to give that to you, Lord, and I'm going to trust that you'll provide that for me. And Lord, you'll send it in, whatever it is, or 15 or 20, whatever it is. It's not so much a matter of the amount. It's what God, when God's in it, God will tell us what he wants us to do. So God exhorts us. As we look at the Macedonian churches in Scripture, God gives to us a living, visible picture of how God could provide for his people. And then, you know, when we look into the Scriptures, God not only exhorts us, but he explains how this works. Can I get you to look with verses 3 and 4 with me? This is what will really help us. This is the heart of everything I'm trying to get to. And I know tonight that many of you have been kind of, you know, maybe you've heard about our missions program and you kind of wonder how it all works and everything. So I'm trying to help us to just, I'm trying to simplify it. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. Just simplify it so we can understand. So a missionary then, he travels around from church to church. He is asking the church to pray for him. He wants to share his burden. And he's asking the church, would they seriously consider taking him on and supporting him? And that he can go and do what God has called him to do full time. They typically go 3 to 4 years on a field. Then they come home for what's called a furlough, where they take a rest. And they'll come home for a year. That's where they get all their medical and kind of make sure that, you know, any of the dental work that they have neglected to take care of. In fact, many of them come back and they have a lot of work to do. And then they see family. Then they go around and visit churches and talk to churches and try to get to know, you know, bring them up to date on what's happened the last 4 years. And so sometimes our churches will have people who call us that are missionaries that we're now supporting. They're coming here from furlough and they're wanting to share their burdens. Sometimes they're here for 3 months, sometimes 6 months, sometimes a year. Many of these missionaries do not want to leave their work for more than 3 or 4 months, because if they do, they have no one to leave it with. And when they get back, all the work they've done is gone. So that's how it works. But here we look into the passage and God shows us, all right, if we say that we as a church are going to use faith promise as a way to fund our mission, how do we do that? How does that work? Well, he explains that to us, all right? Verses 3 and 4. He says in verse 3, if you notice that, would you go back with me and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, yea, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. First of all, he talks about the kinds of gifts. And I find there are basically three kinds of givers. There, number one, are those who give according to their ability. That's the sight gift. They give according to their ability. So in other words, if they have a gift, that whatever gift, that's just what, that's according to their ability. That's what they can do. And so instead of going by faith to God and trusting God by faith, it's just kind of like they just figure out, okay, well, let's see, groceries are this, and this is this, and this is that. You know, and I have you know, an extra $5, and I'll use that as my basis. That's one kind of giving to missions. Secondly, are those who give within their ability. These would be the guiltless gifts. These would be those people who they come and someone like Sarah or someone who comes with maybe a family of 4 or 5 or 6. Everyone knows missionaries always have 4 kids or more. Anyone ever knows that about missionaries? I always joke around, any family comes in the church and they have more than 4 kids, I said, you're going to be a missionary one day. Watch out. And what happens is the kids come in and, you know, they're standing there saying, you know, we want you to pray for us and all of that. And then people get, they feel real guilty because they want to. So then they'll give, and they give in the beginning. And then at the end, then, you know, as time goes on, the guilt goes away and they stop giving. That's the guiltless givers. But then there's the last, and that's what we're looking at in verse 3. These are those who give beyond their ability. That's the faith gift. We get beyond our ability. There are saying, now, don't get me wrong, I realize there's some reason in this. but they get beyond their ability. They're the kind that would say, like these, they were poor, they were struggling, they were hurting, they didn't have what others had, and so they had to ask God, God, what do you want me to give? I want to give beyond my ability. I don't have much to give, but I want to give beyond my ability because I want you to be involved in the missions, in my part of the missions program. We've already got the missionaries. They're involved. They're doing their part. And you've already done the sending out, and the mission board's done their part. Lord, now I want, as a church member and me as a pastor, I want to do my part in missions. But I want to do beyond just what I think I can do. I want to do what you want me to do. Are you guys with me? So we talk about the kinds of gifts, and then letter B is the manner of giving. Now, this manner of giving is a very interesting concept because it's based on, this manner of giving is based on Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Does anyone know what Galatians 6, 7, and 8 is? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, the fact is that all of us understand that there is within this an understanding of the fact that you and I know that whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap. Here's the principle. Number one, we always reap what we sow. We always reap what we sow. If you sow corn, you'll reap corn. You will not reap grapes. You know, you cannot sow ungodliness and reap godliness. You cannot sow extravagance and opulence and reap good things. You can't. You know, I saw at the end of the game, I was watching the golf tournament. At the end of the golf tournament, they had on some Hollywood starlight show on there at the end. And I take a nap and, you know, kind of wake up and I saw that. And they had a lady on there. Now, check this out. She's a movie star. I have no idea who she is. I don't even care who she is. She had her nails done in gold, and it was $250,000. I wish I had $250,000 to give to missionaries. She put $250,000 of gold in her fingernails. Where'd they get the money from? When we go to the movies or buy their stuff from them. And we're trying to figure out how they waste all that money. Because, you know, and that's what they're reaping. But the truth of the matter is, tonight, we understand that whatever we reap, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And God says that you know, if I'm burdened about missions, man, I want to sow some effort on the part of missions. And mine is not just giving some money, but I want to pray for missions. I want to sow some prayers for missions. I want to sow some finances for missions to help them get there. And not only that, but I want to go to some other mission fields. Right now, I've got about 5 invitations to go to some mission fields. The Japanese always want me to come back. They told me it's a standing invitation. And they're always asking me to come back to their conference in March. Others. Brother Kinesis called me the other day at my house, and he's going to be coming here in April of next year, and he's on furlough. And he's coming back, and he wants to share his work. And he says, hey, when you come into Budapest, I want you to come back and preach. I want you to see the new work we're doing. I'm begging you to come. But what I'm saying is this, what you reap, what you sow. If you don't sow anything, you're certainly not going to reap anything. Amen? There's the second principle. We reap more than we sow. You know, if you're going to plant a row of corn, you don't want to put just one seed per plant. You want to put many seeds. The more seeds you put in, the greater the potential of the plant. And what God says is that if we reap, and we're talking about economics here, you know, the more that we can give, the greater the impact it's going to be able to have on future missions. You always reap more than you sow. I will say this. Can I say one more thing about this? This is kind of sort of a side note in this. But this is the strangest part that I've read in Scripture and I've seen in people's lives. And tonight I could take you to 10 people right now in this community that this is true. That not only do you reap what you sow, but what's really interesting is that when you reap good things, or when you sow good things, that the reaping comes much slower than when you reap bad things. In other words, when you sow bad things, you'll reap real quick whatever you sowed. But the good things that you sow, that you will reap, that's a little slower in coming, but I guarantee you it always comes more than you reap. You always reap more than you sow. Always. 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 Third principle we look at here. We're looking at our manner of giving. We're talking about missions and how we help missionaries. We always reap in proportion to how we sow. If a man plants one row of corn, another man has the farm and plants 20 rows of corn. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think in that particular picture, who do you think will have the best crop? The 20 row guy or the one row guy? 20 row. And then fourthly, we always reap after we sow. We cannot expect anything if we've never sown anything. So here's some principles about giving. And I'll say this about missionaries. They are doing an outstanding job. I've had some people tell me one time, you know, I went to the mission field and a missionary wasn't doing much. I don't see too many like that. There might be a few out there that do that, but not many. But I'm going to promise you this before God, and before this staff, and before me standing before you, there's no way in the world I would ever bring someone like that for you to support in front of you. I'm going to bring a worker here. A guy that wants to do the right thing. I want you to be able to trust me in that. I do my homework. I know a lot of people in mission work. I've been to mission fields. Not as many as like other pastors, but I've been to several. And I know what, as far as with what God has led me and the knowledge base that I have with it, that I can know, at least I know where to go to find out if this guy is on the up and up or this person's on the up and up. But here's my point. We need to sow. We're sowing. And God is showing us how that works. That's the explanation. So there's an exhortation of giving. There's the explanation of giving. And then thirdly, there's the example. And this is the one that stands out to me more than anything else. It's the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 9 again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. A few thoughts underneath this and I'm done. Number one, he was willing. You think about that. He was willing to give up everything for the souls of men. Jesus gave up everything. In fact, the Bible says it like this, and Paul writes and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, man was so in need of someone to die for him that Jesus was the one that was willing to do that. The need is great. The world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The world needs to go out. And they need to hear the truth. And I'm convinced that we have good missionaries. They're doing a great job, and they're surrendered, and all they need is some encouragement from churches like ours. Amen and amen. They just need us to get behind them and say, you know what, we're going to pray for you. We're going to give what we can. We're going to support you as best we can. We're behind you 100%. That's what they need. Because there are souls all over the world that needs the gospel of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about the Middle East. I'm concerned about the missionaries in the Middle East. Brother Ferris was telling me about some pastors that were in Mexico. And he asked me to pray, and I did. My wife and I went to prayer right away, and we prayed for him. But he was telling me that these three pastors in Mexico had been missing for 7 days. We began to pray that God would protect them. And two of those men were church planters starting a church. Another was a visiting pastor, I think he said this morning. He was telling me about that. They were found. They're being held for ransom right now. Sad. It's so sad. Because those people need the Lord. And you know, there are missionaries who are even putting their lives on the line and willing to die, and some are dying for that. But you know what? Jesus was the best example that we have in Scripture. He was willing to come and give everything for the souls of men. And by the way, that included you and me tonight. His willingness. But as you think about His willingness and what He did and how He left all of that, consider also His sacrifice. Giving His entire life. Greater loveth no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He gave up His riches. He gave up His entire life for the souls of men. And I would say to you tonight that if Jesus Christ was willing to give up His life and give up everything for us, the least we can do is give up something to help a missionary get to the field. And then thirdly, His obedience. He was willing to obey. He did what God had sent him to do. This year will be a year in which we now have a question in our own minds and hearts between now and next Sunday. What is it that God would have us to do? And will we obey? Here's what I want to ask you to do tonight. And this is sort of a different service altogether. I want to ask you this. Will you be willing to seek God's will for what He would have you to do in the area of giving to missions? Ask Him what He would have you to do. And I'm going to show you what's going to happen. Andrew, can we get the next slide, please? Next Sunday, we'll be giving out what we call our missions prayer card. This is a faith promise commitment card. This is exactly what it is. This faith promise commitment card will have on it, yes, thank you, brother. We'll have, as we read at the top of it, it says, in dependence upon God and by His help, I will endeavor to contribute financially each week to the worldwide missions program of Calvary Baptist Church. It will be my prayerful purpose to give the amount I have indicated below as God enables me to do so. And then we just put some estimated amounts. It could be whatever amount God might lay on your heart. We have 50, 40, 10, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, other. The idea of the card is on one half, you cut it off and pray. It's a prayer reminder. The other half is that you drop it into the offering plate at the end of the service. We're going to do that Sunday morning only. And then Sunday night, if you're serving another ministry, we'll give a second opportunity. But our plan is just to do it during the Sunday morning service. We want to take up our faith promise commitment. And what we want to do is announce that to the church family. This is what we've committed as a church body to missions. By the way, this faith promise goal ought to be something that's exciting to us. Because it's always exciting to see missionaries going out serving God. Amen? Amen. And we will mark the card. Now, if you notice something on here, I make sure, I don't think there's no place on here for you to sign. We don't want you to sign the card. Because signing it, you don't want to sign the card, because if you sign it, basically what, you know, it would be as if you're in your own mind, you have to say, well, man, everybody's going to see what I want. No, this is between you and God. I want to say this not in an irreverent way, but in a respectful way, a God thing. I want God to work. I want God to work in our hearts and God to work in our lives. I want God to show us. Because here's what's happening right now. As I'm preaching and we're talking about money, we're saying, and you might be sitting here thinking, you know what, Pastor, don't you know how bad the economy is right now? Yeah, I do. But I know how big God is. And I know that God can more than take care of his people. And if God's called a missionary out, I believe that God, if he's going to call them out, he never calls them to do something he doesn't supply the need. And God uses us to supply the need. And not just us, but other churches like ours. And maybe we can't do all we'd like to do, but if we could say, dear God, can I trust you as I begin to pray? Can I trust you for this amount of money or that amount of money or whatever it is? Can I trust you for that? And God will show us, yes, you know, I can trust God for that. And then we make the commitment, and then each week as God sends it in, we just simply give it to him. I've had people tell me stories like, you know, they went through their faith promise and they made a commitment. The next week they went and found a check in the bank, or a check rather in the mail, and they were able to put in a bank to cover some of those commitments. I've had other people tell me things like that they've, you know, they sold a car and a part of that payment of the car, they just simply used that and applied that to their missions. There's all kinds of ways this thing quit. And it's so important for us to grab a hold of this, because this is how God biblically funds the mission work of our missionaries. Next slide I want you to go to, if you would please. Here's the next slide. On this slide right here is our weekly giving, our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. I marked a red spot. The red spot shows us where we would give. And so what we would do in that spot under missions, so for example, if you were to come next, say, you make your commitment, say your commitment would be $5 for missionaries. You don't need to write a separate check or anything like that, but what you would do is, at the bottom where the total is, you would just add that to what you normally give as your total, and then designate that into the offering envelope that's in front of you in the pew. Is that clear? Is it clear to everybody? Okay, I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I'm just trying to help people to understand, because lots of people said things to me like, I don't know where that comes from, or I don't know how we give that. So what we would do is, your tithe goes in the first line. Missions, that's your faith promise missions, goes in the second line. The For Him offering, which is the parking lot, goes in there. And that's basically the only offerings that we raise throughout the year, unless there's a special offering like we may ask for. And you folks have been very generous, and I try not to do that very often, but those are the main ones, and it goes right there. So I wanted to make sure that everybody knew how to do this. So, and some people, like, you know, I want to take and have a separate offering from my regular giving. I want to use that, and I want to make sure it goes to missions. Just use the offering envelope and designate it under the missions offering. So the guys who count the money, or the people count the money, the deacons, that they make sure that it goes where it's supposed to go. By the way, our missionaries are great people. Currently, we serve, have about, how many missionaries, brother? 50 missionaries. Our goal would be have missionaries at $100 a month. We can't always do that because we don't have $100 or $5,000 to come in every month. Sometimes we have $4,000. Sometimes we have $4,200. Sometimes we have a little less than that. But you know what? I'm thankful tonight to tell you that, you know, we do the best we can. We give out a mission check every month to the missionaries. And I just want to be honest with you. I think all of us as a church family, as we pull together and pray and seek God's face, God will show us exactly what he wants us to do. That's all I can ask. And if someone says, well, I can't give anything, that's fine. But I think we can give something. I think we can do something for him. I think we can do something for the Lord and for missions. And when I ask you tonight, if you'll just pray and seek God's face on what he would have you to do, and next week when we pass out the faith promise cards, you could say, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I know what God wants me to do. And Sunday morning, we're going to have the offering plates down here in the front. And then the Sunday morning, when we're going to come and pray and drop in our commitment card at the end of the service, that's how we will do it. and we'll stop and just take a moment and pray. We're not doing that for a show. We're not doing that to impress anyone, because our heads will be bowed, our eyes will be closed. We're going to do that for the Lord. The invitation tonight is twofold. Number one, there are lost souls around the world. They're in desperate need of the gospel. They need Christ. And I want us to come and pray for the lost souls as God leads you. Number two, I'm going to ask if you would, and I'm not going to have us do any singing tonight, Brother Shamsuddin, but I want to ask you if you would consider coming and just praying and saying, God, I'm going to begin tonight to ask you to lay on my heart what I can do in the area of missions. Everybody, understand that as we have a part in this and God's laid on our heart, we just do what God wants us to do. That's it. That's all I'm saying about it. So that we can say, you know what, God? I just want to do my part in missions and see God do some great things in these next 12 to 18 months. What about you tonight? Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I don't even know Christ. Man, I hope you'd come and trust Christ as Savior tonight. Shall we pray and ask God to speak to us?